FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450. Rutherford County's place to talk. Your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS this morning. Judge Donna Scott Davenport joins us. We're going to be talking about the Rutherford County Juvenile Services Program. Donna, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us on this day.
Always good to be here.
You brought some friends with you.
I did. Just two of our many employees from our juvenile detention facility.
Fantastic. Captain Rebecca Basquette is with us.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine. And a lot of people remember her. She did such a great job on the tour of the facility back when you had the open house. And also the programming coordinator, Casey Watson.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. Good to have you both with us today. Now, here we are in the holiday season. Christmas is in the air. Does it feel that way at the juvenile detention center?
I'm afraid, Bart, Santa doesn't stop at our detention facility. No.
And so the people who are there, and they're youngsters age 18 and younger, is that right?
17 and younger.
They realize something has gone wrong. Is this a hard time for them?
It is. And I think that these ladies, they're with them on a daily basis, can really let the viewers know more about how they deal with if we do have to lock them down through the holidays for their safety or the safety of our community. And I think they can tell you better because they are with them on a daily basis. But I do restrain a lot of children through the holidays if it's necessary.
And it's for some strange reason, I remember this broadcast last year because it really hit home. And I remember us talking about it, particularly the January broadcast, because you were talking about how many people that you had to lock down over Christmas because they just were not getting the information. I mean, they were truant for school. They were doing a lot. They just were not doing what they should be doing.
That's correct, Bart. You know, some of them are already under a court order to do certain things, and they don't still believe that there's going to be a consequence. And the others maybe have a new offense that's very serious. And the statute is very clear. First, we try to protect the child, and then we also have to balance that with protecting our community from that child.
Now, about how many do you expect to have locked down this year?
We'll let the ladies answer that.
It could range anywhere from 20 to 30 kids at Christmas time.
And do they realize as they get into that, this is not going to be the normal Christmas?
They do. And there are some kids that have spent a couple of Christmases with us because they don't really understand, you know, there's a consequence to their actions.
How long does it take them to get that through their head? Or do they? Just some of them just never get it.
Some get it and some don't get it. So
that's really sad to hear this happening. Casey Watson, you're doing a lot of things, hopefully, that will help in that area. Pet therapy, art therapy, job readiness, things of that sort. What are you seeing?
We see a lot of the kids come and they come back, and they come back. And I think the biggest thing we look for is that we expect, honestly, some of them to return, but that we see some type of rehabilitation occurring. Maybe they're coming back less, you know, frequently. Maybe they're coming back and, you know, saying some positive things that happened as a result of some of the rehabilitation programs that we provide at the Juvenile Detention Center. And that's one reason we're really trying to focus on enhancing some of those programs to maybe make them be more successful and that we see them less in our facility.
And any of you who wants to jump in on this one, I'm sure that in your years of working with the youth, there probably is something in your mind that you're thinking this was missing from their life. For some reason, they just didn't get respect or anything. What would that be?
Well, Bart, there's a variety of different reasons, and that's why we brought the captain and Miss Watson in today, because we want our community to know that they're just not sitting there doing nothing. We have so many programs going on in our facility, and these are two of our newest programs, so that we can have the services there for them to so that when they're with us that they aren't getting some kind of positive reinforcement, not negative, and that they can be released and hopefully not come back. And of course, Miss Watson is heading the new grant that we just got for our education, and Captain Basquette is doing, of course, the pet therapy, which we have seen a huge change already in some of the attitude of our children.
Captain Basquette, tell us a little about that the Pet Partners program.
We are very excited about the Pet Partners program. The kids actually get involved with the training exercises with the dogs, and they have to go through obstacle courses with the dogs. So it teaches the kids patience. And while one kid's going through the obstacle course, the other kids offer encouragement and support to help the kids get through the obstacle course. And it also helps the kids build trust and respect. And they learn the consequences of positive and negative reinforcements with the dogs. And a lot of times the kids can relate to the interaction with the dogs to their home life, and the structure that they have to have with dealing with the dogs is the same kind of structure that they need at home.
It's interesting that you bring this up, because I guess a lot of these youngsters have never had a pet before and have never had maybe responsibilities.
Right,
before.
And they get very excited about the Pet Partners program. Mm-hmm. One of the things that did happen with the Pet Partners program is one of the ladies, Beth Clark, she started the program with two Yorkshire Terriers. And one of the terriers, Chesler, passed away in July. And one of the things that the staff saw with the kids is that they were very sympathetic and compassionate towards Beth and the loss of her dog. And none of the staff members told the kids to tell Beth, "We're sorry for your loss." They took it upon themselves and were sad and told Beth that they missed Chesler and that they were sorry. And that's one of the things that we saw. And a lot of the staff shared, you know, what they thought about that and how great that was.
Is this a program that has originated here in Rutherford County, or is it an idea that came from somewhere else?
And the Pet Partners program, they go to various other facilities like mental health hospitals, nursing homes, regular hospitals, Vanderbilt Children's Hospital, and work with patients there too. And we got in contact with them to see if they would be interested in working with the kids here. We wanted some type of program that the kids were able to interact with animals, because I think that people can learn a lot interacting with animals.
Mm-hmm. It teaches them so very much.
Right.
Now, in addition to the pet therapy, you also have an art therapy program. Casey Watson, tell us a little about that, if you would.
Well, we wanted to come up with a program that would get the kids engaged in the classroom in more than just bookwork, or more than just math, or more than just science. So we've kind of all brainstormed and come up with a few different projects that we do. What we found when we're doing this program is that we're seeing different sides of them expressed that, you know, they would never have expressed emotions to us during a regular classroom setting. We found some great artists that we didn't know we had. We found some very creative, you know, detainees that we didn't know we had. And many of them have really, really blossomed in that aspect. And, you know, they've expressed problems to us through their artwork, and we've been able to help them with a lot of things. And it's been very exciting, and the kids really look forward to it.
Was this something new to them, too? Did they not realize they were talented in that area?
Most of them did not realize they were talented in that area, or they had been in trouble in school for drawing, or, you know, been told at home that wasn't, you know, do something productive. And so we've really kind of tried to turn that around, and many of them have seen that they have talent in that area that they wanted to explore.
That has to be exciting to see that happening.
It's very exciting, very exciting.
Because if they go through their earlier years, people saying, don't do that, or that's just not a productive thing to do, or slapping them on the hand for doing it at school. And then to have somebody say, man, that's really good. You are very talented. it's got to be a very big positive for them.
Right, and it's been another way for us to tap in on, you know, their talents, because every child's going to have different talents, and we kind of get stuck in the rut of the usual, you know, I'm good at math or I'm a good reader, but to tap in on these other talents that they might have has been exciting for everyone.
Any chance they may have an art show sometime soon?
That's an excellent idea. Maybe this time next year we'll be talking about the art show.
Let us know so we can encourage people to go to see that.
Surely.
I think that'd be exciting to see some of the work that the youngsters, because it's always such a great thing to see the talent of young people. Now, one of your other programs deals with job readiness, because if you're getting up toward 17, you need to figure out, what am I going to do with my life? Am I going to get some additional education to be prepared for these jobs, or am I going to be ready for the workforce? Tell us a little about that program.
Well, the job readiness program, it really, really has to start at ground zero most of the time. And that goes back to simply how to respect people, how to talk to people, you know, very basic, how to dress, how to look professional. And we really have to hit all of those core things before we even move on to the job search process. And then when we enter the job search process, it's, you know, we have to go very basic. Most of these kids have never had a job before. So we have to go back and focus in their classroom. Well, have you had a shop class? Well, have you had a mechanic class? You know, have you had an accounting class? All of those things can be incorporated into a resume that, while they're not paid job experience, they have experience and skills that they can share. So that process has been teaching them to identify their strengths and their skills so that they can express those to the workplace, to potential employer.
Now, I notice some of the areas that you're covering, you've mentioned resume writing, or interviewing, dressing for success, workplace etiquette, what it is to be a good employee. As they hear these topics and you go through the subject matter, what kind of responses are you getting?
We have, for the most part, very positive responses. Many other kids, as you talk to them, realize that they have, you know, they identify skills they didn't realize they had. And I've had a couple of former students call me back, and, you know, and just want to talk to me to say, hey, I got a job. And that's probably been the biggest reward, is just hearing that, hey, I did what I learned and it worked, and now I'm being successful. And we just try to emphasize to them, we're starting small. You know, a job anywhere is better than the one that you have, and you get a job and you build your skills, and it's just a building process to make you successful in life.
Let's talk a little about the grant, because all of these things that we're talking about cost money to do. And Judge Davenport, our Rutherford County Juvenile Detention Center, has been very fortunate in getting grants and being able to do things that really other facilities look at and say, boy, I wish we could do that.
We have, and I have to give all the credit to Director Lynn Duke that runs such a fantastic job being the director of our facility. And then, of course, all of our staff, but these two ladies in particular, I think, if I'm correct, she can correct me. Ms. Watson, I think, wrote the grant all on her own without any assistance, and it was a $130,000 grant.
$131,000.
$131,000. We need that extra $1,000. Mm-hmm. And it was something that we said, okay, it's probably a shot in the dark, but nothing ventured, nothing gained, and wow. And it's a pass-through. It's a 100% grant.
Wow.
It's a pass-through grant. The county commission was ecstatic about that, and we just received it. So this is brand new. And we've got other thoughts that we want to do with the pet therapy as we grow with that. And a lot of other ideas are coming about, because we don't want our children just to sit and have downtime. We want them to be thinking. We want them to be motivated. We want them not to return. So we feel that it's important to have some of these programs in the facility so that they're just not sitting in having nothing to think about positive.
Now, this is a strange question, but things run through my mind sometimes that are strange. And I'm wondering, when these youngsters are in the local facility, are they learning better than they do in the school system? And the reason I'm asking that is because they're a little different. They have not had the background, the training. And maybe they need a stricter regimen.
I think Ms. Watson can answer that. But remember, we're not in a huge classroom.
Right.
We're
right.
One-on-one a little bit more. So why don't you answer that for us?
We usually have, well, always no more than 6 students at a time working with the teacher. And one of the disadvantages is that we have, of course, all learning levels, because the levels are just vast that they are working in. But they do get more one-on-one. I like to say that I have a very attentive audience. When they are out for school, they're out of their rooms. They are interacting with other people. They want to stay out for school. They enjoy that time. And so in some ways, I think that when I'm out with a group of kids, for instance, that I have their attention just probably better than any other teacher could have their attention, because they're just so thankful to be there. And they work very hard. Hopefully with the grant, our curriculum will be expanding. It will be easier to work with them, exactly on the level that they need to be working on. We can do a little bit of remediation with them and get them more up to par if they're behind, for instance, in reading when they go back to school. But for the most part, I enjoy working with them a lot. They're very, very attentive.
Let's go to the phones. Our number is 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want you all to go back to the first thing you said, okay? What was the meaning of this topic? What topic are you saying? I got something for you. Tell me about it. We're
talking about the juvenile detention service here in Rutherford County.
Okay. Judge.
Yes, sir.
Have you all seen the news the last 48 hours? Let me say what, read my call. I've got a real big problem about this football player that shot and killed, murdered his girlfriend. You all know what I'm talking about?
Yes, we know about that.
You know, there's been two sides to the story from the list, the audience that have been watching it. I'm as much as I call talk shows, I love what's going on, I love talk shows. But I'm all fed up with the American, I said American, everybody underlined that, news media. It is a shame how we have, not we, because I'm not in the media, how we have become a country that makes so much money off of violence. Do you all hear me where I'm going?
It's sort of, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I think we all understand what you're saying.
And Casey, one of the programs we're talking about today with our pet therapy is one that reduces our children's aggression. Most of all of our children that are held have aggression issues and domestic violence issues in their home. And that's one thing we're trying to address with the pet therapy program, is trying to teach them to receive love and give love and not be aggressive in that.
Young ladies, and who was on, let me tell you something. I work in the church. I work with 3 churches locally, and I go to all of them. We have got a problem in this country with the young people.
How can we solve that?
Woo, I don't have a clue. Let me tell you, I've taught a lot of kids. I work with the kids doing the music and stuff. But let me tell y'all something. I'm talking to church people now. Anyone that's listening, if you're lost, don't be too proud to ask for direction. Like, these people is only here today. I'm talking to the listening audience now outside.
Mm-hmm.
They're only here today. They're only here because we've got a problem with the children. I know it's a problem because I'm with them every week. I notice kids. You all, first of all, I hate to say this, but I'm going to tell you, they love violence. The television, the music, their clothing, even the parents.
Well, the movies and the music.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm saying,
everything.
And it's like, you all, and you know what? We've got a judicial system in this country who, I don't know if it's just riding on money or it's riding on, well, we just pat them on their back, or pat them on their shoulder, like we go back to a football player. There's some people got upset about this because they saying, you seem like you're making a hero out of what he done. Did y'all hear him say that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You see where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, but 1 hour won't clear this up, and I'm not going to take up all y'all time. But you all, something is eating this country up. I don't know what it is. And it's very dangerous because so many people act like it's going to be all right.
It won't be all right unless we do something about it.
You're exactly right. Appreciate you all time.
Thank
I'm listening.
You take care of yourself.
Thank you.
And it might be brought down to one word, teaching respect, and move from there. We'll be right back. 893-1450, some exciting things happening, positive things happening at the Rutherford County Juvenile Detention Center. We'll tell you more about those. And if you have any questions or comments, join us. It's your show.
This is George Plaster. Join me for Sports Night, weekdays 3 to 6, right after all sports talk at 2 here on WGNS.
It's the year-end celebration at Ford of Murfreesboro on Broad at Northfield. Celebrate with a 2013 Ford Fiesta, a 2013 Ford Focus with 0% financing, a 2013 Ford Fusion, a Ford Escape, or the best-selling truck, the Ford F-150. Ford is America's best-selling brand, and now it's time to celebrate with a great deal at Ford of Murfreesboro. Visit them online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Again, that's fordofmurfreesboro.com at the intersection of Broad and Northfield.
For over 130 years, dreams have come true at Bell Jewelers. Come by and let Lisa, Greg, or anyone at Bell Jewelers show you the Bellatoire Fun Fashion Color Line. You get a free Bellatoire necklace with a purchase of $300 or more
now through the end of the year.
That's at Bell Jewelers. They really do make dreams come true. 821 Northwest Broad, across from Toots. Bell.
If your oil
Jewelers.
Is leaking and your brakes are squeaking, call 896-1407. Roberts Discount Auto Repair. Service you can trust. On Broad Street, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Honest service, fair prices.
Good morning once again. No accidents or incidents reported in Murfreesboro by the Murfreesboro Police. Bit of congestion still. Broad at Church, Broad at Memorial. Also busy traffic. Old Ford Parkway at Chapin Place. Old Ford Parkway at Kaysen Lane. I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231, I-24 at Medical Center Parkway. All with congestion. Free at Last Bonding is a proud member of the Tennessee Association of Professional Bail Agents. Call 242-FREE. That's 242-3733 or go online to freeatlastbonding.com. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
For the forecast area, showers likely, few rumbles of thunder later on, highs in the upper 60s. We'll have a south-southwest wind between 10 and 15. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Right now, 63.
This is Freda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
High school sports, Blue Raider games. It's only on Rutherford County's Place to Talk. WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Time never stops, I know. But nothing's really changing. So what's another day?
We're back again. Our phone number is 893-1450. 893-1450. And we're talking this morning about the Rutherford County Juvenile Detention Center, 893-1450. Judge Donna Scott Davenport is with us this morning, along with Captain Rebecca Basquette, as well as Casey Watson. And let's go back to the phones. 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Is that me?
That is you. Good morning.
Well, good morning, and how's everybody that's in the audience there?
Good morning.
Just if you want to call it the audience. But first of all, I just like to say that good morning to Judge Scott Davenport and the other guests that's there, and thank you for this program. But basically, I wanted to say to Judge Scott, I really admire what she is trying to do, and it kind of reminds you of that little story about the little girl walking along the ocean edge throwing back the little starfish that had come up on the shore. And this man had come along, and he wanted to know why she was doing that, because he really didn't feel like it was any good just to throw back the few she could. But she looked around and told him, well, regardless, there was one that was helped, even if she just got one help. But I think she's got more starfish saved than one. And I'm sure, Jerry, that you planted lots of seeds. And a lot of time we go by the analogy that these children come out of homes that's just headed up by a woman, a one-family home. But being in domestic violence for about 25 years now, I've noticed that some of the homes that have a two-parent home, sometimes the people don't seem to have as much structure in there as they do with a one-parent home. It's because of that. You are trying, and it's not easy. It's not that these are not good parents. But it seems like the children are attracted by the outside peer pressure in a way more than the parenting that's coming out of their home. It's a struggle, and it's just good to have an advocate or individual out there that will try to help us with some of these situations that's in our society. And we really appreciate you so very much, and we appreciate Bart for having these informational type programs though, will let people become aware. And I know I'm taking a lot of time, but at the time I was growing up, my parents and my grandparents and everybody was instrumental in helping you to guide the person on which direction to take. And even if they don't believe in your spanking now, I know that they don't. But our grandparents, most times, he would witness that if it got to that point, and I did not consider it to be abuse, because I think they must have done a pretty good job, because it seemed like that I was taught how to walk upright, not only in the church, but in my life as I go through life's journey. So thank you. Thank you so much, all of you that's there. Thank you, Bart.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for sharing with us this morning. And I think she really hit a lot of things right on.
Yeah, I really appreciate those kind comments. And I may steer the ship, but I sure don't navigate it through all the rough waters by myself. We have about 10 that I have under immediate control in the juvenile court, and then we have about 40 so employees in the detention facility. And all of these programs and everything that we do every day for our children, it's not a Donna Scott Davenport thing. It is a juvenile court staff function. Every employee that we have, I am so blessed that we have the staff that we have, because there's not one single person there that's not there because they love children and want to see them prosper as an adult and change their ways. And that's one reason we're trying to be so more positive in our detainment, is to give our children some more options while they are detained so that they can go out and feel better even about themselves, because that's what it's all about. And we do have a lot of domestic violence that come in. And again, that's part of the pet therapy that we've really seen. Even our toughest of our toughest children have softened and found out it's okay to have some nice, warm feelings instead of just all those hate feelings.
Now, we've had people on the air talking about domestic violence before, and most of them seem to think that it is a learned behavior. As you look at what you're doing, is just about everything that you run into a learned behavior? I mean, are you having to teach what they learned wrong?
A lot of times the kids think it is normal that when they get upset or they get mad that they act out violently against their loved ones or friends and peers. And with the Pet Partners program, they're able to, I guess, melt a little bit and be kids again and find a different way to cope with their emotions. Because one of the things that I've seen in the Pet Partners program is when they're asked to interact with the dogs, at first they're kind of hesitant and they want to act hard and difficult in front of their peers, and then once they see that everybody else is doing it, they see that it's okay, and then it's a different reaction. They are calmer, they're it relieves some of their anxiety, in fact, and they learn that it's okay, that if they're getting upset, there's different ways that they can cope without getting mad or violent and acting out against everyone that's around them.
You said something that really just turned on a light. You said they're able to be kids again.
Right.
And so they feel like they had to be Mr. Macho or Ms. Cool or whatever, that they couldn't be kids. And now you're showing them how to be kids and how to do things that kids do.
Yes, we've had several kids with serious charges, violent charges, that when they come in, they're putting on the persona that, you know, they're tougher than the toughest, and you know, they're going to act a certain way while they're in there. And then once they interact in that program and they go through the obstacle courses with the dogs, they're kids again. And it's a neat thing to watch. It's a good experience for these kids.
How do you keep them from getting with the same kids that influence them in this way once they get out?
A lot of the times it's staff reminding them, you know, you're here and where are your friends? And if you're out with your friends, whose choice is it whether or not they come back to juvenile detention? And I say that a lot to the kids. And they kind of understand what that means, that, you know, once I get out of here, it's my choice of who I'm with. Because most of the time, their friends are not in juvenile detention with them. It's them.
Do they realize that they are doing things differently from other people and that's why they got in there?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you.
I would like to ask the judge, I guess judge would be the correct term to address her, but there are two words that I don't fully understand. I'm 61 years old, and I've been through the gamut of life, and I've also had my occasion to be affiliated with law enforcement to the bad ideal of it. But the word rehabilitation and the word remotivation, I don't understand the difference. And one, I think, is to direct someone, and I think the other one is to change someone. I wonder if the judge could address the fact of rehabilitation and remotivation in her career. Thank you, and I'll wait for your response.
The statute, we have to, of course, juvenile court's one of the only courts that are statute-driven by our legislature, and remotivation is not in the statute, but I'm going to address that second. Rehabilitation is in our statute, is that our purpose of juvenile court is to rehabilitate bad behavior and protect the morals and safety of our children. And as the term rehabilitation is that we want to take the negative behavior that is illegal, that is harmful to them, and turn that around into a positive and stop them and give them the tools to address the issues that cause them to exhibit the bad behavior and change that and rehabilitate and not have the bad behavior anymore. I think re-motivation might be something that we do from all of our programs and from consequences that we hand down in court, is that maybe we want to re-motivate them to make better decisions so they don't come back out in front of the court. I hope that helps them.
Our phone number is 893-1450. We're going to check on the weather, and we'll be back and take some more phone calls or talk about some other issues that are going on in the new library, the computer lab, life skills management curriculum, all of this and more as they work to change the youngsters and make them productive citizens, but as was said earlier, teach them how to be kids again. We'll be right back.
This is the voice of the Blue Raiders, Chip Walters, on Rutherford County's home for MTSU sports.
The Blue Raiders on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Does your home have foundation problems? Bricks cracking, doors sticking, basement walls bowing, floors uneven, or water problems? Where do you turn? What name do you know and trust? Call United Structural Systems at 227-2275. For over 17 years, United Structural Systems has stabilized, restored, and guaranteed over 5,800 homes and businesses in Middle Tennessee. We know that you, like our customers, want a restored home, a lifetime guarantee, and the peace of mind that United Structural Systems, a locally owned company, will be here for you. Call United Structural Systems today at 227-2275 or visit them on the web at usstn.com. United Structural Systems, known best for being better.
We'll guarantee our best. Call USS.
For the forecast area, showers likely, few rumbles of thunder later on, highs in the upper 60s. We'll have a south-southwest wind between 10 and 15. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Right now, 63.
Now's the time to spruce up your home before friends start arriving for the holidays. The place to start is Bell Furniture. My buddy, Perry Bell, over there sells first-quality name-brand furniture about half price every day. Beautiful Serta sectional sofas. Cherry dinette sets with four chairs. Half price every day with Perry Bell at Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Now more than ever, count on WGNS. The Midday Report with Zach Trotman. Weekdays 11 to noon on WGNS. AM, FM, online.
Rounding around without any cares in her. First love is holding her close, and the soft wind is blowing her hair.
Things coming up, wanted to remind you about the lighting of the county Christmas tree will be this Friday night. Starts at 6 o'clock up on the Murfreesboro Square, 6 o'clock Friday night. And, of course, also Friday night from 6 until 9 and Saturday night, Christmas at Cannonsburg. The Rotary Club's Pancake Breakfast Saturday morning from 7 until 10:30. And the Murfreesboro Christmas Parade is Sunday, 2 o'clock Sunday. The Rutherford County Christmas Parade, 2 o'clock Sunday down East Main Street. The Bethlehem Marketplace. Boy, there are a lot of things going on, aren't there? Bethlehem Marketplace on Saturday and Sunday at Southeast Baptist Church. So many things and so many good traditions. If you don't have a, you know, maybe you're new to the area, and these are things that you need to learn about. We're talking this morning about the juvenile detention center, the juvenile services here in Rutherford County. Judge Donna Scott Davenport's with us, Captain Rebecca Basquette, and also a programming coordinator there, Casey Watson. 893-1450 is our number. Let's talk a little, and they had just recently received a grant that's going to help them do quite a few things, phenomenal things. This is a federal government grant, a new library, computer lab, life skills management curriculum. Let's talk a little about that. Ms. Watson, tell us a little more about, let's look at the new library for one thing.
Okay, well, let me give you a little bit of history really quick. The Title I grant that we received is for delinquent and neglected children, and it's to enhance their educational programming. Mm-hmm. And there's a thousand ways to do that, of course. One of the ways was a library that we came up with. That's one of the activities that the children in detention have access to. They read a lot. We have many kids that have left and come back and said, I learned to read when I was here. My mom is, you know, mad at me because I'm making her take me to the bookstore and get this book or that book, but they really developed a love for reading, and we wanted to kind of build on that principle. And so the new library, with some of the grant funds, we're going to be getting an entire new library. We're going to have new shelving, new systems, a reading area for them to sit and read based on, you know, their time of the day for school. They'll get to come out and spend some time reading and with staff, and we're very excited about it because in the past our library has been kind of piecemealed together with donated books and, you know, secondhand, and we're really excited that our kids are going to have the latest and the greatest and the newest books to hopefully foster that love for reading.
Oh, that's fantastic. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How y'all doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
Yes, I was just wondering. I know we're talking about the young people, but I work also with young people in churches also, too, and have a very heart for young people. And I'm just wondering, do we work with their parents after we rehabilitate them? Do y'all have any programs that help the parents to coach the kids? Because we're living in a day and time where we really have lack of good parenting. And I was just wondering, I'll hang up and listen, but I was just wondering, do y'all have any kind of program that also allows the parents to get involved with that child and to help that child, teach that parent how to teach the child? I'll hang up and listen, and thank y'all all for all your hard work for our community.
Who would like to take that?
I can take that.
Okay.
One of the programs with the grant that we're going to be adding is actually it's a parental involvement piece where they will have access to, we'll be having some parental meetings for interaction that will focus on things like parenting skills or dealing with anger management or dealing with substance abuse, as well as a vast array of literature available to them as well. We really want to try and bring the parents into the arena, because like the caller was saying, that is an important piece, because we can teach them and give them the tools that they need in our facility, but then when they leave and return to their environment at home, it's important that be consistent so that they can continue to be successful.
I guess this really goes into the area that you have down here for the life skills management curriculum, and that includes parents as well as the youngsters.
Yes, and then another piece too, as far as that goes, is we're also going to be incorporating teen parenting curriculum, because one day these teens will be parents, and we're hoping that if we give them some strong footing to begin on, that the cycle will be broken and they will be successful parents.
Judge Davenport.
And to address the caller's question, we also have in juvenile court, of course, from the day that a child maybe steps into court, we have a number of individuals that are there to talk to the parent that day and say, here are some tools, here are some resources, here are some parenting classes, whatever that you need. And we also have, through our youth service department, we talked just, I believe, the other month about that, where if we're having trouble with our children and the parents need some assistance, they can bring that child on Wednesday after 9:00 in the morning, and they will meet with a probation officer to discuss what does this family need. So we try to wrap around services before court, when they're in court, and also now while they're in detention.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Hey, Bart. Good morning. This is Jeff. How are you this morning?
Doing great.
I just wanted to tell you, and just to say publicly that those folks that surround you there in the studio this morning, they do an absolutely terrific job every single day helping young people. And I just want to say that publicly. They are truly amazing folks there, and I just wanted to thank them.
Well, we thank you for that wonderful, wonderful comment. We love what
you
do.
Y'all have a great morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was Jeff Jordan. 893-1450 is our number, 893-1450. We have not touched on the computer lab. And, of course, this is such a high-tech world, and especially the young people. They know the ins and outs of technical equipment. It's their life. Tell us a little about that, if you would.
Well, we're going to be incorporating a new computer lab. We're very excited about it. It will be have access to an academic software so that the students will be able to come in. We'll take an assessment to see where they are academically, what they might need extra work in, what they might need remediation in. And then with that software, we'll be able to custom tailor assignments for them that will help them get caught up so that when they return back to school, their regular zone school, that hopefully we're going to be sending them back better than they came to us. And the kids are excited about it. We're excited about it. It'll also be helpful for current events. And it's going to really open up a lot of things we can do with the curriculum at juvenile detention.
Now, as you put this request together for this Title I grant, did the youngsters, what you see with the needs of the youngsters every day, did that help you guide you in putting together the request?
Absolutely. I am with the kids a lot every day, and Captain and I both walked the facility. We asked the kids, hey, what do you guys think would improve things? What do you think would make things better? We really took their input in it and put that into our thoughts when we wrote that grant. And so I think that we're giving back something, hopefully, that they will respond to, because it's something that they wanted, and that we're going to see a great, great interest in our programs and hopefully a lot of success.
Well, this is exciting, seeing this happening and seeing Rutherford County really on the cutting edge of another great service to make citizens better. And these are the future leaders of our community. And you already have had a major part in changing that, but you're having an even more integral part in making a difference in their lives. Judge Davenport, we just have a couple of minutes left. That has to be a great feeling, though, to see a staff of people so caring and so dedicated.
It does every day. You know, it gets very heavy. It gets dark days. And then one child, will light bulb will go on, or the smile will be a sincere smile, and they do get it. And we're not going to see them again. And we're going to give them the tools that they need to go on and turn 18 and be a good citizen for this county. And that is why we all do it, because no matter how discouraged we get by one child, we're going to have hope in the next one. We're going to have hope in that one, but we're not going to lose hope in the ones that follow, because that's our job. And as I said, we have the most dedicated staff that work with our children in Rutherford County, because they care about these troubled children.
Well, we're looking forward to decreasing reports of people who have to stay at the facility over the Christmas season this year, next year, see them going down each year because of the caring programs that you have and the differences that you're making in their lives. If people have any questions, and sometimes parents are at the end of their ropes, don't know what to do next, can they call you for advice before a judge sends them to your facility?
They can. They can call the Juvenile Detention Center, and they can also call the Rutherford County Youth Service Office also. The Juvenile Detention, to reach us, it's 898-7954, and to reach the Rutherford County Youth Service Office, it's
7855, sorry.
You don't call that number.
I don't call that.
Okay. Well, what's the number once again?
It's 898-7850.
Very good. Visiting with us today from the Rutherford County Juvenile Services Program, Judge Donna Scott Davenport, Captain Rebecca Basquette, and Programming Coordinator Casey Watson. Tomorrow, Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman will be with us. Until that time, hope you have a super rest of the day. Don't go away. Truman is coming up next, right here on your Good Neighbor Station, WGNS.
Your hair all around me, baby, you surround me. You touch every place in my